Krishna, Krishna, Brahmane Dharma Vamane,
Brahmane Dharma Vamane,
Swamkasam Adhunopete,
Swamkasam Adhunopete,
Dharmakam Charanam Gata,
Dharmakam Charanam Gata.
Now that Sri Krishna, the Absolute Truth, the Master of all mystic powers, has departed for his own abode, please tell us by whom religious principles are presently protected. Purport. This verse from Srimad Bhagavatam was a question raised by all the sages who were headed by Shamaka. This question put before the great devotee, Sukta Goswami, is the foremost of the six questions raised. The answer to this important question is given in the next verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Next verse means quoted by Lord Chaitanya, but it's two chapters later in Srimad. We'll also read the purport from the Bhagavatam to this verse. Essentially, religion is the prescribed codes enunciated by the personality of Godhead himself. Whenever there is gross misuse or neglect of the principles of religion, the Supreme Lord appears himself to restore religious principles. This is stated in Bhagavad Gita. Here the sages of Manasaranya are inquiring about these principles. The reply to this question is given later. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the transcendental sound representation of the personality of Godhead, and thus it is the full representation of transcendental knowledge and religious principles. Om Gyan Srimadanda Sadhana Naswata Chakshumatanya Tajmai Sri Gurudevam. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adwaita Gadadhara Sivasti Guru Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Can I move up, please? You can move up also. Now I feel more comfortable. It is an idea that everyone has to stay far away. All in reference, huh?
People like laying on the wall.
You're actually not supposed to do that in the temple room anyway, laying on the wall. As Prabhupada is explaining, this is the most important of the six questions asked by the sages of Dhammasaranya to Sita Goswami. The point is that Krishna has departed from the ordinary vision of the world. Therefore, these sages had gathered for a great sacrifice, trying to understand what and how would benefit the world. What would benefit the world and how would the world be benefited? This is the feeling of an advanced person, a truly civilized human being. How can the world truly be benefited? Today you have so many people who get riled up about one narrow sphere of one narrow area of human activity, ecology, or wars, or animal rights, or political oppression. But these sages at Nainasaranya were taking into account the whole gamut of human existence, and they were wanting to know how human beings can be benefited since Lord Sri Krishna has departed from ordinary vision. This is a monumental question. Both Krishna's appearance and his disappearance are mega events. They are the true mega events of the cosmos. Everything hinges on the appearance and disappearance of the Lord. If you want to evaluate human history, you do it based on the Lord's appearance, the Lord's disappearance, as well as the appearance of the avatars and the appearance of the Lord's great devotees. That's how you see the proper human situation. To help us do that, we have our Vaishnava calendar, which glorifies the various appearance days, disappearance days, and so on and so forth. Days of Krishna's pastimes. So you can see life in its true perspective in relationship to the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, our natural tendency is just to think we're here alone and it's up to us to figure everything out. Little tiny things in our life are so important. Our little puny desires and our futile efforts to satisfy our desires. These are so important things. But when you look at things through the viewpoint of Srimad Bhagavatam, you finally get to see things in accurate perspective. Krishna has not created this world and left it to go on its own. He's constantly coming in order to, as he describes in Bhagavad Gita, puritanaya sadhanam vinashaya chudiskritam, in order to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants. He comes. Now Krishna has departed, the sages at Namastrangi are pointing out. What are we going to do? How can the world still be benefited? That's how we should be thinking, in terms of Krishna. Whether Krishna is physically present or not, how can the people be benefited? What is Krishna's plan for benefiting people, whether he's present before their physical eyes or not? This is what we should endeavor to find out. And then we can have the key to the cosmos. Then there's no more riddle to existence. So many people, of course, will not take it at all as consequential that the Supreme Lord, the master of all mystic powers, the absolute truth, has departed. And so what? They may mistake Krishna as an ordinary person, or they may take Krishna to be just mythology. So it's not a crucial question for them. Even though the Lord himself says in Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chirayam Evam Yogacitakasa, if you can understand the transcendental nature of his appearance in this world and his activities, then upon giving up the present body, you won't take another body. So there's a great difference of opinion between how Krishna describes himself in Bhagavad Gita and how he is perceived by mundane people. Huge difference. That is why we push aside all other so-called versions of Bhagavad Gita. That is why we don't pay attention to so-called commentaries on Vedic knowledge written by those who are not devotees of Krishna. Because they always try to obliterate Krishna. They always try to minimize Krishna. They're ready to work hard to do that, to show how Bhagavad Gita is impersonal. They're already trying to do some complicated gymnastics. Yes, yes, Krishna is saying this, but what he really means is... We're not being fanatical or religious zealots when we say, don't waste your time with other commentaries, other versions. You should understand, Krishna speaks very clearly. He's able to explain himself. Suppose I said to you, all right, yeah, why did you go to work yesterday? What would you think? No, but You don't really mean that. You're saying that just to, so that people will think in a certain way. But what you really mean is something else. And how did you feel if someone did that to you? Every time you spoke about yourself. Well, actually, what he really means is, and here you are explaining yourself, why are you wearing that jumper? No. What you really mean is that you are attracted to the color black because the color black signifies the darkness of the unknown, and you're seeking to relish the mystery of the unknown. That's why you're wearing it. Now, how would you feel? Right. And that's what Krishna complains about in Bhagavad Gita. They don't listen to him. He's coming to this world in his full transcendental glory. And they say he's just a human being. Although at every step of Krishna's appearance in this world, he displays his transcendental position. It's not fate. Krishna shows you. If you want to be shown. Once you understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then you'll be very concerned about his comings and goings. When anyone is dear to you, you're always concerned about what they do. And who could be more dear to us than Krishna, who is the self of ourself? It would seem that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead leaves this world, there can be no good. Everything collapses. It would seem that way. There are, of course, setbacks. There are ill effects, as is natural when the greatest of all personalities departs from ordinary living. Even when great devotees of the Lord, what to speak of the Lord himself, when great devotees of the Lord disappear, then there's effects. That's just the way it is. It's part of personalism. Prabhupada points out in Bhagavatam that when a great acharya leaves, you should expect there's going to be some chaos. That's just the way it is. When Krishna departs from ordinary vision, you should expect some chaos. But those who are sincere try to understand how the Lord's work is still going on and how it can continue to go on. Well, this is what the sages of Dharmasaranya are concerned with. They're asking this to Sutta Goswami. He's the elder Vedantist. He's the senior spiritual person. So they're asking, please tell us by whom religious principles are presently protected. They're not willing to accept that Krishna just left irresponsibly and now there's no more spiritual protection for the people. They want to know. We're sure Krishna made an arrangement. Now what is that arrangement? This is an important question for us. And therefore it says it's the most important of the six questions raised by the sages of Amishan. You can study these in the first chapter, the first canto, the six questions. You have to do a little bit of work to pull them out because they're all not exactly phrased in a way you might consider explicit questions. And sometimes the questions they ask are similar. But anyway, you can more or less find six questions about the Lord, his pastimes. You should allow yourself to be trained by the Bhagavatam to think, to understand what is important. You should be thinking to yourself, well, why is this question so significant? I have to learn to see significance in this way. That's what the sages of Naimisharanya are indicating to you. You see, if you don't know how to look at life, even though life is right in front of your eyes, you won't be able to understand anything. If you've ever taken biology or microbiology in school, if someone puts you in front of a high-powered microscope and asks you to look at some living entities, some cells or whatever, and you look, you will not understand what you see. You have to be trained to understand what's right before your eyes. You won't be able to pick out what is significant. There's so many pieces of art which show you that if you look at it one way, you see something. You look at it another way, you see something else. What are those things called? Optical illusions, yes, but then no, there's even one where you, I can't remember what it's called. They're like 3D, and you just look at them and you think you're seeing things one way, and you keep looking and looking, and finally you may get a glimpse of something else, or else someone has to teach you how to look at it, and then you see totally something else. You ever had that experience? That's what Bhagavatam is doing to you. We have the Kali Yuga arrogance, the Kali Yuga arrogance. I understand everything that I'm seeing. And then Bhagavatam takes your intelligence and reworks it completely. Take another look. Are you sure you're seeing everything? Are you sure you understand what's important? Look again. I'm sure you can find some paintings like that. I saw some recently at some doctor's office with a book of them, and you just look and you think you're seeing things, but actually there's something else really going on. It depends on how, because your mind is programmed to look a certain way, and so you miss out on a completely different reading of the artistic patterns. Well, that's what happens to us in the matrix of illusion. We're not seeing what's going on. And the Bhagavatam is trying to teach you how to see. Krishna has departed for his own abode. Think about that. Focus on that. That'll teach you how to evaluate what goes on in the universe. That will give you the perspective. Learn to understand this world in relation to the Lord's appearance and disappearance. Then you'll actually understand current events, human history. And where has Krishna gone? He's gone to his own abode. Of course, Krishna never leaves his own abode. He's present simultaneously in the spiritual world as well as in the material world. So it's a way of speaking. He's gone to his own abode. It means he's withdrawn his presence from ordinary vision. Consequently, the sages of Naimisharanya are asking, how are religious principles being protected? Who's going to do that? Religious principles must be protected. What is Krishna's arrangement? We're sure Krishna didn't leave us alone to suffer in Kali Yuga. We're sure he left a more than adequate arrangement in place. But if you have good parents, they're always concerned to leave adequate arrangements in place for the future of the children. When Srila Prabhupada departed as spiritual father, he was concerned how to leave adequate arrangements for the spiritual nurturing of his children. He said, I've given you everything. Everything I wanted to say is in my books. He never told us, actually I didn't have time to teach you some things. You need someone else after I left. He never said that. But I've given you everything. Now you take it He said, if you can increase it, at least maintain it. That's proper care for dependents. That is the duty of anyone who's a leader. To leave behind a system whereby the dependents can be properly spiritually nourished. These sages of Namaskaram, you know, Krishna has done that. So what is the arrangement? When Yudhisthira Maharaj left for the north, for the Himalayas, all the Pandavas departed to leave this world. They departed from their royal capital city. Even the ladies, Draupadi and Kunti, also departed, following the footsteps of their husbands. Yudhisthira Maharaj knew, Prajit Maharaj is able to take over, so I can go now. This is responsibility. Krishna is the supreme responsible person. Surely he wouldn't leave his parts and parcels bereft. Surely he would have in place an arrangement by which his parts and parcels could be spiritually protected, even though the Lord has withdrawn his presence from physical eyes. What is that arrangement? That is stated in the third chapter of Bhagavatam. First canto. Krishna Swada Mukhagate Dharma Jnana Divisa Kalonasta Dusham Enisha Puranako Dunodita. After Lord Sri Krishna departed for his abode, along with religious principles and transcendental knowledge, this Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam, has arisen like the sun in this age of Kali to enlighten those who have no spiritual vision. But that is Krishna's arrangement for protecting religious principles, for giving vision to those lost in the darkness of Kali Yuga. He has given Srimad Bhagavatam, the literary incarnation of the Lord. Sometimes Bhagavatam is very challenging because it presents things that seem incredible to a mundane Western vision. But if you allow the Bhagavatam to rework your sense of perception, then the wonders of the Bhagavatam will unfold to you. Because the Bhagavatam is the literary presence of Krishna. The Bhagavatam is Krishna's system for nurturing his parts and parcels in his apparent absence. If you approach him and Bhagavatam in that way, you'll be able to benefit unlimitedly. I've explained before how these books are not simply like information. They're also personal. They nurture you emotionally. They reach deep into the hidden corners of your heart. And they cleanse all those hidden places in your heart. They balance you. You can resonate with them. That is the power of these books. Because they're the presence of Krishna. You can have a relationship with these books. You have a love affair with these books. Take things from Krishna's point of view. Krishna is satisfied. I've departed, but I've left Srimad Bhagavatam, which has arisen like the sun in the darkness of Kali Yuga. This is the standpoint upon which we teach Krishna consciousness. Lord Chaitanya himself, by his own example, taught the worship of Srimad Bhagavatam. As the Supreme Personality Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya himself, who appeared in this world 500 years ago, obviously was able to understand that there are a lot of things in Bhagavatam that people would find incredulous. Even to science as it was 500 years ago, was a figure. Now, still, Lord Chaitanya gave as one of his most basic precepts the immersion in Srimad Bhagavatam. We can read about this in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya speaking. In this way, like a madman, I have explained the meaning of just one verse. That's the Atmaranga verse. I do not know who will take this as evidence. If one becomes a madman like me, he may also understand the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam by this process. You have to understand, of course, what Lord Chaitanya means by madman. I don't want you to call up your parents and tell them, that's what I'm doing here. I'm going to become a man person. I understand Srimad Bhagavatam. No. Lord Chaitanya means that in the eyes of a mundane person, it's madness to become enthralled in love of God. If one becomes a madman like me, he may also understand the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam by this process. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu plainly explains that Srimad Bhagavatam cannot be understood by those who are materially situated. In other words, one has to become a madman like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Apart from being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an acharya who exhibited his love of God like a madman. According to his own written verse, Yugayatam Nameshena, he says that for him, a moment seems to last 12 years. Chakshusha Prabhashayatam, my tears are flowing like torrents of rain. Shunyayatam Jagatsarvam, I feel as if the entire universe were vacant. Why? Govinda Virahiname, due to my being separated from Govinda, Krishna. One can understand Srimad Bhagavatam only by following the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is mad for Krishna. We cannot, of course, imitate Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is not possible. However, unless one is very serious about understanding Krishna, he cannot understand Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a very important point to remember. Unless you are very serious about understanding Krishna, you cannot understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam gives the full narration of Krishna's transcendental activities. The first nine cantos explain who Krishna is, and the Lord's birth and activities are narrated in the tenth canto. In Bhagavad Gita it is stated, Janma Karma Chame Divyam, Krishna's appearance and disappearance are transcendental, not mundane. A person is eligible to return home back to Godhead if he perfectly understands Krishna and his appearance and disappearance. This is verified by Bhagavad Gita. Chakta deham punar janma naiti mameti sojana. It is therefore concluded that one has to learn about Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, and one has to follow the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those who do not follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cannot understand Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Ultimately, we are trying to become mad with love of Krishna. We want to replace our madness about material life, our mad attachment to material life. We want to replace that with madness of love for Krishna. Lord Chaitanya is certified. That is the way to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. The more love you have for Krishna, the more you understand Srimad Bhagavatam. And Lord Chaitanya is the ultimate understander of Srimad Bhagavatam, because he playing the part of the topmost devotee, who has the most love for Krishna. He's taking Srimati Radharani's role and showing. Such a person has the best understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. You look all around you and you see the degradation of today. You wonder how you're going to make it, how you're going to last in Krishna consciousness. Srimad Bhagavatam is there to protect you, to spiritually nourish you, to warm your heart, to repair you from your past traumas. Everybody's been traumatized in the age of Kali. Things have happened in your childhood, things have happened in your young adulthood, in your teenage years. Everyone's been abused, everyone's abused others. Srimad Bhagavatam, if you take it into your heart, will heal your abuses, heal your hurts, and you'll become a whole person. If you actually pursue Bhagavatam with deep conviction, taking it not just as information, but as a transformer, and take it as the personality of Godhead. Let the Bhagavatam enter into the hidden recesses of your heart. Ventilate all the dank areas. Let the light of the Bhagavatam into every part of your existence. Then you'll be very healthy in spiritual life. And if you serve the Bhagavatam by presenting it to others, your understanding increases. So that always has to be an essential part of our activities here. Distributing the Bhagavatam to others and serving others to help them read it. In fact, we hold people's hands as they read Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. We want them to take advantage of their incarnation of the Lord. Let us go door to door and introduce Bhagavatam to the people, so they'll have the literary presence of the Lord in their home. Any questions? Yeah?
I was wondering that Srila Prabhupada said he gave everything with books. It seems like a lot of people don't sit there. So I was wondering why.
Where? Where?
Oh, not here.
Okay, well. You've been other places? Where have you been?
I've met people here in Brighton. So.
Hmm?
I've met people here in Brighton.
Who? Your wife just like that? Who have you been meeting? We're taking Prabhupada at his words, especially since his words produce results. Everybody else can speak so many things, but we don't see the results anywhere slightly near what Srila Prabhupada did. So we're not being dogmatic and, you know, just, well, he's our founder, Chaya, so we're saying he's the best. Because no one else has produced even 1% of what he's done, so what can we do? We cannot become, we can't waste our time with persons who can't accept Prabhupada as his words. If you say, I've given everything, there's nothing more to be given, then later everyone would say, he didn't really mean that. That's not very good. Instead, people should try to understand. When someone says, I give it everything, you should try to understand it, what that means. Once again, it's like looking at one of these optical illusions, you know. Well, I don't see that. You never had that experience. You know, some shows you one of these. They make postcards like that, I think, where you look at it and something else completely is going on from what you might see at first. And someone else who knows, they can say, oh no, it's a forest and there's a deer in the forest. Well, I don't see that. I just see some squares, some circles. I don't see that. And the person keeps saying, oh no, look again. Don't you see the deer in the forest? Oh yeah, now I see it. So that's what we're doing. We're trying to help people to see what is there. We're not inventing what is there. It's already there. We're trying to get them to see. We don't get involved in unnecessary wrangling. People have their motives, you know. We spoke yesterday about how in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll read Prabhupada explaining that just knowing four books, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, and Bhagavad Gita, you can be Jagat Guru, you can preach all over the world. Kaliyuga brain will become purified. Then we'll become a Vaikuntha brain. If you love the books, they'll love you. If you take them out with you on dates, they'll never leave you. You distribute the books, and then the books will do their part. They'll always cling to you. Just be patient. You'll see, day by day, as you'll see your spiritual intelligence grow.
Pages offer prayers to him, saying, "Oh, you're the Supreme Godhead," and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it states in the prayer part that these prayers are actually meant for Lord Vishnu, not Lord Shiva.
Mm-hmm.
But they're directed at Lord Shiva. But isn't that the same as impersonalist reinterpreting Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita?
No. You show me later, and I'll point that out to you. Sometimes great devotees of the Lord are called Bhagavan. But it means in relation to Bhagavan. You can't read Bhagavatam in a reductionist way, like, you know, pick out one thing and then ignore the whole context of the whole Bhagavatam. What about this, you know? I used to do that a lot in the beginning. He was famous in London for doing that. His big sannyasi would tell me, who's that guy who always asks these kind of questions? Well, don't worry, he'll be all right after a while. Kind of reductionist, mechanistic viewpoint question. You can't just reach into the Bhagavatam and just tinker with one little section of it. You know, you have to see the whole thing. It's not presented like some kind of, you know, Western computer software. You have to become equipped with a different way of viewing things. Otherwise, why don't you go to the 10th canto, where Narada Muni visits Krishna in his palaces in Dwarka, And Krishna says to Narada Muni, "You are Bhagavan. How can, what can I do for you?" Now just take that part out of context, and then you, oh, that means all the beginnings are Bhagavan. But Krishna's meaning is that because of your pure devotional service, you're as good as God.
Maharaj was saying that we need to develop, make a relationship with Bhagavatam. How do we develop the vision to see that Bhagavatam is Krishna?
Serve it. Serve the book Bhagavatam and the person Bhagavatam, and you'll get the vision. Srimad Bhagavatam has arisen like the sun in this age of Kali to enlighten those who have no spiritual vision. Service. Yes, the other books count, but Prabhupada himself said that Bhagavatam is most important. Krishna book is Bhagavatam.